Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a blessing to continue this morning our meditation on the word of the Lord, particularly as he calls us to ask him to bless us to be grace-filled stewards. That is to receive from him his grace so that we might be restored and sustained in that which is actually our life's calling, our vocation. From the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve in the garden and he made them aware of all that he had created and shared with them the magnificent message of love that it was all in principle for them. He didn't need the natural order of things. He gave them the opportunity to really to demonstrate how much they cared about him by taking care of the world that he had created. And that would have been a beautiful, magnificent story to this very day, and we would find ourselves waking up this morning in a perfect natural world, with no pain and no suffering and no disaster. Unfortunately, I don't have to tell you how much that is not true. Yet there is great joy and reason for hope, because we know that God's response to the sin of Adam and Eve was to promise them his grace, was to declare in the first order, in chapter 3, the promise to send a Savior, the seed of a woman. And it was his purpose to reconcile his children, Adam and Eve, unto himself, and therefore to restore their proper vocation and their purpose in life, their way to serve. And my friends, it is still true this morning that God, in his grace, gives us the opportunity to show how much we care about him, how much we care about the love that he has for us and the love that he has given us to share with one another by taking care of all things that he has given to us, by counting all things in life, material and spiritual, as blessings from him. We have been considering as a theme verse for this series John chapter 15, verse 5. And I will ask you then to read this verse once more with me this morning. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Personally, I could never have imagined, and I don't know that anyone would have imagined, that a few weeks ago, when we began to plan for these four Sundays in October, and it was Stephanie who came up with this beautiful image of the vine and the branches and the abundant fruit, we could never have imagined that it would be so true today that this is a reminder for what great loss has taken place in the state of California. In a part of the state, not only limited to, of course, and certainly not only the people who are owners of vineyards and people who work at vineyards, but that is a big part of the story. And there is hope. There is an abiding hope always in God's Christian people who know that a fire, a wildfire, or a flood, or an earthquake, or a tornado is not the end of the story, and that there is someone in whom we have hope. And yet, in the natural order of things, there is also some hope in this place that something has happened, and they may not be sure yet, and that is that the roots didn't die. The fire wasn't so hot, it didn't last in the same spot so long, that while all of the foliage was burned off and it looks like a wasteland, actually the roots of the vine might still be alive. And it is there, perhaps, this morning that we can appreciate that the starting place for being grace-filled stewards is that we have deep roots. And St. Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians, and he said, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Our roots as grace-filled stewards are in the gospel, are in Christ himself. And so for us to have a starting place this morning and a continuing place with our life, it is to know that we're not afloat and we're not dead, but we are alive because the roots are alive and because we are grounded our very lives. Every breath we take is grounded in him. From those deep roots then does grow a strong vine. And it is perhaps the greatest source of hope for God's people this morning in view of all of the natural disasters of the world and all of the death, because the death toll is mounting, and the death isn't just human life. It is, of course, the death, if you will, of memories and lives lived and countless material blessings. So much a product of people's diligence and hard work. But the vine is alive, and the vine is strong, and the vine is Jesus himself. We are reminded this morning that this message, this series of messages to be grace-filled stewards, is about Jesus, really. It's really mostly about Jesus. A long time ago, I can remember Cherie talking to our small children and talking about Sunday school, and somewhere along the line, I don't remember exactly when, but the conversation came up that the basic correct answer, Stephanie, to every question asked in Sunday school is Jesus. If you're a small child and you go to Sunday school, even confirmation class, most of the time you'll have the right answer if you talk about Jesus, not us. We're the ones that struggle. And we're reminded that at the end of the first century, when Christians were being openly and actively persecuted, we are Christians alive in a place where we're not so much appreciated anymore. We've sort of fallen out of favor in the public square, but we're not being yanked out of our homes and brutally beaten and killed in the streets as they were in the first century and as they are in some other places in the 21st century. But the Apostle John, who had been exiled to an island, he wrote to first century Christians, and he said, "I write to you, fathers," that is older men, "because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." It was an astounding declaration for an apostle to make to a group of people who were persecuted, that even in the midst of their persecution, they had overcome the evil one. They already had the victory over the one and the ones who were killing them and wanted to kill them because they were attached to the strong vine. And as it turns out, they were the strong ones and not the ones who were persecuting them. Now, this morning, I will ask you to consider that as grace-filled stewards, we are healthy branches. We are. You cannot become a healthy branch by yourself. Now, there's a piece of diligence in this that I will talk to you about in a moment, and Stephanie mentioned it to children. I already brought some good answers. But it's important for us to sort of just remember that this picture is not like a branch hanging out in air. It's attached to the vine, which is rooted in the ground, and so the branch is the product of, if you will. It grows out from the vine. We are the growth of Christ Jesus himself in the world today, and you are a healthy branch, mostly. In God's eyes, you know that you are perfectly holy and clean by the power of the gospel. And that is his response to your confession of sin always. But the healthy branch is sustained and well fed by that which comes from the roots through the vine. And you know what the spiritual food is. Most of you know. If there are some new Christians here, visitors here, if you do not know how it is that God feeds the branch so that it would be healthy, it is straightforwardly that which the vine is and the vine does is how we are fed. The living word, the word of God. From this strong vine do we receive the word of God. And you are present here this morning. And you know you'll never do October 15, 2017 again. You'll never do this morning again. As it happens, the Holy Spirit inspired you to come to this place, and this is where you are, and you get what God gives in this place. Not what Ed gives or what Travis, Pastor Travis, he's back. Not what we give as men, human beings, but what God is prepared to give, which is the word of the gospel. Three portions of Holy Scripture. We sing Scripture in our hymns. You pray Holy Scripture in your prayers of response. We are all about the word of God in Lutheran liturgy. Please know that God's purposes are at work in the worship life of our church because he wants to give you constantly and continually. The word is free-flowing in this place, and the living word, the body and the blood of Christ on the altar behind me, they are nearly prepared to nourish and nurture you. And this is the true spiritual food. Not only spiritual. It's not only sort of ethereal, floating around in air. If it were just sort of a concept, no one would offer to you this morning, take and eat. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one would invite you, take and drink. This is the blood of the Lord. Because God is, as it turns out, body and soul. When Jesus took human flesh upon himself, my friends, God incorporated human body into himself in the Son. Only in the Son, not the Father and the Spirit, but the Son indeed is true man. And that is part of your confession of faith. You've already said it today. Now the obstacle, the great obstacle to this divine plan of God to feed us on a regular basis, there are two battlegrounds. Luther understood both of these, and it's a reason why we have a Reformation movement still going on to this day. When Luther began to contemplate, how is it that God the Father feeds his children? He discovered that the children are not being well fed. They are malnourished. There's really like poor spiritual nutrition going on in the church because they're not receiving the word. And why aren't they receiving the word? Well, they're not hearing the word. Well, why aren't they hearing the word? Well, as a matter of fact, because they speak German and the word is being spoken in Latin. Luther said, we need to fix that. And we need to fix a lot of other things too. And even while the word is being spoken in Latin, they're not hearing the principal message. They're not hearing the gospel. They're reading a lot of law, rules, and regulations, but they're not getting the nutrition that was designed to come from the God himself through the church. And so Luther decided to correct the preaching of the church, which he proceeded to begin to do right away. 95 Theses is already Luther's efforts to begin to correct the preaching and the teaching of the church, to restore Jesus Christ to the center of everything as the great treasure of the church, the gospel, as the great gift that God had given, and to correct the teaching of the church by writing a small catechism and giving it to the church. To this day, the greatest manual of Christian faith ever written endures. We have yet another version coming out this month with some new additional explanations to the parts of the catechism. If you think that it hasn't been important to consider and consider and reconsider, all you have to do, if you belong to our generation, our Shrina, if you're a baby boomer or a little bit older or not that much younger, consider how the explanation to the sixth commandment might have changed in the last few years or might need to be readdressed in the catechism. Because Luther, in his wildest imagination, never thought how we would continue to like confuse things more and more and more and hurt and harm more and more people by drifting so far from the clear word. And yet the final battle still rages on, and that is our own sinful nature, and particularly our rejection of the Word. Particularly our sort of disdain for the Word. Particularly the attitude that emerged in the modern and the postmodern period that I don't have to go to church to sort of be a Christian. Jesus never said that, by the way. You can find no place in the scriptures where Jesus says, you don't have to gather with one another and you don't have to worship the Father in spirit and in truth to be my disciple. That is just basically a false idea. It's anti-institutional church, I know. So you have to give up that excuse. I'll take it away from you right now. The institutional church is not perfect. Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, not perfect. Show me the denomination that is. Oh, I'm a non-denominational person. Well, you are a denomination in and of yourself. You can either be of one person or a few, but if you believe something, you stand for something, you have a confession, then you are. But we rejected the Word, and Luther predicted German Lutheran Christians would do it. They rejoice at the Bible given to them, the whole Bible. Luther, in his spare time, translated the whole Bible from Hebrew, Greek, Latin into German. Who does that? We don't even write letters by hand anymore. Luther did all this work by hand. There were no PCs, laptops, digital devices. You know how many books there are in the Bible? You know how many verses there are in the Bible? Try it. He did it while he was writing letters, preaching, teaching, and he gave it to the people. And what a beautiful, magnificent gift. Luther said, I know you, sinners. You're sinners. You receive it today. Next week, it'll be on the ground. You'll be walking on top of it. You'll be sitting on it in your chairs in your home. You'll be doing everything except what you're supposed to be doing with it, which is read, study, meditate, inwardly digest, take the Word in. So there's a part of this that has to happen, and it's connected to the work that the owner of the vineyard and the gardener does. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, does Jesus say just before these verses. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Time is fleeing, but I have to talk to you for a moment about pruning, about the activity of pruning. It has to do with repentance and forgiveness. It has to do with being open to God's work. If you listen to the Old Testament lesson this morning, you heard the story of Isaiah the prophet, whose lips are touched with a burning coal. Not a pleasant experience, by the way. If you've ever stuck something hot on your lips or on your tongue, coffee's a little bit too, you burn yourself. Because repentance, as it turns out, is a painful exercise. There is physical repentance. There is spiritual repentance that is necessary to sustain healthy branches. This, my friends, is to enter into the territory of less is actually more. Cut out the bad part, take part of it away, and what's left will grow better and stronger. I have a personal experience with that. I cannot go into great detail with it, but I have to tell you what it's like to have open heart surgery. I was informed after having been to the cath lab and them having a spectacular look at everything inside of me that the only solution for me was to get cut, for them to do some cutting on my body, and I mean some serious, in more than one place. And the purpose of that is to cut out the bad, deal with that which is bad, and to reshape new and healthy blood flow for the heart. And as it turns out, and I wasn't thinking about this so much, I said, get my heart right. They said, well, the heart is important, yes, slightly. But it has to do with the whole body. You know what? Your feet are going to be better because your heart is fixed. Better circulation and all. But besides the physical cutting, there was another cutting that had to happen in my life that was also painful. And that was the things that I was told I would now have to cut out. And let me give you a tip. Do not invest don't buy shares of stock in some Texas institutions that you know very well, some brands you know very well, because consumption is going down. Because I'm not buying Bluebell any longer. I'm not driving through or walking into Whataburger. DQ is off limits. Ask me if I made this decision because I was just so happy to do it. You're looking at Burger King. No, I am the burger. I was the Burger King. Ask Cherie, she'll tell you. But you know, some things you do you want to eat burgers? Or do you want to live? Psalm 139 is a magnificent psalm, and I have to invite you to go home and read all of Psalm 139 this afternoon or tomorrow or something. And it begins with a word, and it ends with a word, a key word, and the word is search. The psalm begins by the psalmist saying, God, you have searched me and you know me. You know, the people that are closest to us, we don't even know 100%, and they don't even know us 100% because we spend much of our life kind of moving and shaking and covering and hiding because we're afraid that we won't be unconditionally loved. So, but God knows, and the psalmist says that you have done this, and I know that you have done this, and I know that you know me. But at the end of the psalm, the psalmist comes back and invites the Father once more to do it again. And he says, search me and show me. Show me the inside of me. Show me any part there that's not healthy, that's not well. Specifically, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So pruning is necessary. We all need it, but we don't do it to one another. We're asking God to search us, show us what we need to cut out, what we need to ask to be forgiven. Painful as it is, I'll tell you what is really glorious about this exercise. It's just like the moment when after they had bypassed my heart for a little while on a machine, because I went on a machine for a while. So they turn the machine off, reconnect you, and then okay, it's working. That's like new life. A great Lutheran theologian describes confession and absolution as the most terrible, wonderful experience in life. Most terrible up to the point in time when we have to deal with all our guilt and shame. Wonderful when that moment comes and says, okay, are you done confessing? Yes, your sins are forgiven. The past is the past. Guilt, shame, removed, sent as far away as the east is from the west and all of the other magnificent images. There is an outcome that comes from being touched by the word of Jesus, the gospel. There's a Bible verse that we can look at that brings conclusion to this thought today. And this is the result, the outcome of a great miracle performed by Jesus through Peter in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 16. You can read this with me if you would, and we'll be done. And his name, by faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. May God bless each and all of you to be healthy this day and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.